So yesterday's announcement by the president is the culmination of 5 years of scientific work, followed by three rounds of public consultation. And what we announced was the creation of a network of marine protected areas, 9 marine parks, and 11 aquatic reserves, if we translate the French, covering 26% of Gabon's ocean space. So, you know, you're just over a quarter. And the vision is to conserve the incredible natural treasures of the ocean that we have in Gabon. We have the biggest population of nesting leatherback turtles. We have about 20% of the world humpback whales that come to breed in Gabon. So there are some real treasures that need protection. But of course, we're thinking about sustainable development, and the oceans are critical for food security and a great source of sustainable livelihoods if they're well managed. And so creating protected areas is not just about conservation, it's also about how we optimize the use of our oceans and how we maximize actually the productivity of the fisheries. Because there's lots of science that shows that by creating protected areas, you can actually increase the sustainable harvest of fisheries. And so that's really our vision.
Now, you mentioned that you held public consultations. Is that a way to ensure that the programs that you put in place and the rules that you put in place for these fisheries will be followed by the population?
It's always much better if the population is engaged in conservation. So the laws of Gabon compel us to consult the public before we create protected areas. But going beyond that, it's a very sound and useful process, because by getting the public involved at the beginning, everybody's vested in the protected area, you reduce your conflicts, and by explaining to people how the protected areas are going to make their lives better, initially by increasing the amount of fish there is to catch, but we also have incredible tourist potential. Gabon's the only place in the world where you can see elephants walking on the beach and see whales at the same time. We caught a world record tarpon, which is one of the best sport fishing fishes, just a month ago in Luango National Park, or just off Luango National Park. And so our hope is that not only will people have an increased sustainable harvest of fish, but we'll start to diversify the economy by creating tourism jobs as well. So I think it's going to be much easier to manage the marine parks with our population than it is the terrestrial parks, where there is sometimes a little bit of frustration that people can't go in and hunt and so on.
You mentioned the land-based parks and the national parks, the forest-based national parks. There have been some tensions there. What were the lessons that you learned in that process that you've brought to this?
I think there's more kind of tension in the NGO community than there is actually with populations in Gabon. We only have 1.8 million people in Gabon. 87% are urban. And so there are very few people living out in the close to the national parks. But it's true that when the parks were created 15 years ago, it was done very quickly. There was some consultation, but we hadn't really finished the process of consulting people before the parks were created. And we came in for a little more criticism from, as I said, from the NGO community than we did from the actual Gabonese people who live there. But certainly we learned that lesson. And as a gorilla specialist who's now creating marine parks, if we manage a national park in the forest, we can't increase the number of trees the foresters can cut around the national park. Maybe for local hunting, there's animals will come out of the park and can be hunted in community areas. But terrestrial parks don't increase the productivity of the areas around. Whereas with marine parks, by putting the parks in the right places and protecting them, you increase the number of fishes available to local people. And so it's a win-win situation that we don't have with terrestrial parks. So I think being a marine park manager is going to be much more fun.
It's an easier sell.
It is.
Lastly, you are here at the UN Oceans Conference. What is it that you're hoping to see happen by the end of this week?
We're hoping that this will be the beginning of a process that sees the world engage much more strongly on issues of ocean conservation and sustainable development.
So what does that mean, concretely?
It means, if you look at the problems we have in the oceans have become the world's dustbin. Climate change is causing acidification. We're destroying fisheries all over the planet. And we need to turn the situation around. We need to restore our oceans. We need to restore the fisheries. We need to take marine conservation issues much more seriously. Today there are far more protected areas on land than there are in the oceans, which is just one indication of the fact that we haven't taken the management of the oceans as seriously as we have the management of our land. Partly because for most people, all the diversity and all of the damage done to the oceans is below the waves, and we don't see it. So hopefully this conference will, you know, with all the beautiful imagery from the people that do go under the waves and are telling us about what's happening, hopefully we'll open the global public's eyes to what's happening and start to build a constituency for setting things right. We can, but if we don't put things right for the oceans, the planet's going to be in real trouble.